Welcome to everyone listening all around the world, all across the United States. We're coming to you live from the Alchemy headquarters, which tonight is the Coast to Coast AM studios right here in Los Angeles, California, standing in this weekend. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. What is cracking, everybody? How you doing? Tonight, my guests are Jay Widener and Jason Martell. Now, this is how we're going to do it tonight. Jason and Jay are two of the great researchers of our generation. They've been doing it for a very long time. And when I'm working, this is how it is. When I'm working or just sitting on my patio contemplating what life is all about and I need some answers, I call Jason or Jay. Trust me, it happens way too much. And I'm sure they look down at their phones and they just say, oh man, it's Jimmy again. Well, I don't know about Jason, but Jay definitely says that. But they always pick up and we talk. And if you ever had a chance to listen to our conversations, remember the conversations tonight. We speak often. And this evening is going to be an extension of the private stuff that we get into, and you are going to be part of it. First, a little about Jason Martell that you may not know anything about. He's a very successful entrepreneur, but he lives two lives. One in the world of internet startups, the tech world, right? And the other firmly planted in ancient civilizations and technology. His house, from the outside, typical. His image, clean. His friends, all those techie nerdy types, right? But then you walk into his living room and it's all there. The Dendera light bulb on display, check. The Baghdad battery, front and center, check. It's a direct collision. It's head on. It becomes very clear that Jason doesn't have to do ancient aliens. He doesn't have to do the research. But his interest in lost history and the truth is real. He is here with us, and he won't stop until he gets the answers that he seeks. But first up tonight, Jay Widener. And let me tell you about a typical conversation with Jay. Starts out like this. He's quiet. Jay's quiet. I've walked up to him before. Hey, man, what's going on? Hey. You know, it starts off like that. But he's always thinking. Watch his eyes. You can tell his mind is moving a mile a second. And when you sit down with Jay and you zero in on a subject, you're off to the races. It's go time. The real stuff. Jay has spent his life walking the earth, country to country, in search of the knowledge that is, for everyone else, impossible to find. Because it takes work, real work. He's committed. He'll never give up. His knowledge of the mystery schools, alchemy, filmmaking, Kubrick, and history is unmatched. And tonight, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to get some of that secret stuff out of Jay Widener. But before we get to Jay, I got something I wanted to talk to you about. Yesterday, before Coast, I'm over at the house, and I'm on the phone. My favorite thing to do, right? I wasn't talking to Jay, by the way. I'm on the phone talking to a friend, audio guy, about some work. And during AV guy, I should say, And I was having a conversation on the phone about cameras, high-end cameras, the cameras that you and I can't afford, okay? The real deal stuff, 4K crazy cameras. And lenses, the lenses that go to those cameras, the lenses that cost more than the cameras themselves. Now, this was a conversation on the phone. And another friend of mine had just purchased some really cool gear, and I was telling him about it. I was trying to because, you know, I really don't know the names and the models and things, but I knew the cost. And as far as I know, I've never really talked about high-end cameras before in my life or lenses. Lenses. I just don't do it. It's not what I do. I'm an audio guy. I don't know much about cameras. But these particular models were expensive, and we talked about it for about 3 minutes. That's it. Done. Conversation on a cell over. Finished. Right? Okay. Come into Coast, work, go home, go to bed. Wake up this morning, and I'm drinking coffee, my morning cup of coffee. And I pick up my phone to check email and bounce around and look at this and headlines and news and whatever. And there it is. Advertising for high-end cameras. Really high-end cameras. And wait for it, an ad for high-end camera lenses. So, what is going on? All of the mass media news sites, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, I'm bouncing around and I've got nothing but camera ads. I have never searched for this stuff. I've never clicked. I've never talked about it. I've never searched for it on Amazon. I've never done nothing ever. So I have to ask you, is Big Brother listening? It would be different if I posted or commented somewhere about photography. I have not. It's just something that I'm not into. I've never spent a dime on it in the last like 18 years. I haven't bought a camera in 18 years. I've got cell phone. That's it. That's as high end as I go. Whatever the tech is on my newest cell phone, that's my new camera. But what I mentioned yesterday, on this during this conversation, it was very specific about the camera and the size and the shape of the lens. Very, very, very narrow stuff. And it all popped up in advertising today. The exact same gear, the same conversation, way beyond a coincidence. And I need to get a straight answer for someone. I've got to pursue this. Big Brother has arrived. It's bizarre. Later on tonight, I'm going to take some of your phone calls. And I want to hear from you. Do you think that this is actually going on? This I find very bizarre. Last month, a month and a half ago, when Zuckerberg was in Washington doing his testimony, one of the representatives stepped up and said that his staff wanted to ask him about this same situation where they were having conversations on the phone and then suddenly advertising popped up, and he wanted to know if this actually happened. And I went through it last night and this morning, and I just have to say, I find it completely disturbing, and it's way beyond coincidence. So let's have fun tonight. It's Sunday night on Coast to Coast. Turn down the lights, get ready. You can follow me right now on Twitter at J Church Radio. Very simple, at J Church Radio. You know the drill. Twitter's always live to my left. Any questions or comments, you can post them, and maybe your tweet will get right on the air. It's going to be another great night of bumper music. It's Sunday night. We're going to get pretty heavy in the conversation, so the music is pretty heavy. It's pretty cool. It's pretty deep. And I think we've knocked it out on the park on that. So let's do this. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'll be right back with my first guest, Jay Widener. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM, standing in this weekend on a beautiful Sunday night here in Southern California. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. Very simple. And any questions or comments for myself or Jay Widener, post them right there. I'll get to it during the breaks. Make it good, make it smart, and I'll read it on the air. Right now, it's about writer and filmmaker Jay Widener. He spent the last 30 years researching alchemy and ancient traditions. He has written 2 books and made over 25 documentaries with his company, Sacred Mysteries. He studies the films of Stanley Kubrick, is dedicated to producing high-quality films that challenge our perceptions and help us understand the nature of reality. He is one of the best, and I would like to welcome back to Coast AM, Jay Widener. Jay, good evening.
Hey, Jimmy. Good to be here.
It's great to hear your voice. I want to ask you that we've got so much we're going to get into tonight, Jay. But I don't know if you heard my little opening thing there about
Not
Big
yet.
Brother. Have you experienced anything like that where you've had a private conversation with your wife or you're on the phone and and the next day you know it's private, but you're seeing advertising for it?
Definitely. It's definitely a real thing. They're listening to everything we're doing. They have translating software to interpret what you're saying and then put it into some kind of algorithm, and then they're coming back at you with advertising. You can actually test the system, just start talking about some weird thing that you wouldn't normally be interested in, and you'll see that you'll get feedback almost immediately.
I'm gonna go for like bowling balls or bass fishing, right?
Bombarded.
Right. And it's what happened yesterday, what happened this morning, but the conversation yesterday, I know the zone that I stay inside of, and the zone I don't go into because I know nothing about it, is photography. There's nothing for me to talk about, you know? And I just had this brief little conversation yesterday about this high-end gear. Today, I got high-end gear advertising on my phone. That's just disturbing, creepy, trippy, and weird all at the same time.
It is. Creepy is the word. What's really weird about the whole thing is that I'm actually into high-end photography and videography, and I will buy pretty much a lot of products in that area. And what's funny is that for the next, 10 weeks, I'm bombarded with advertisements for the same exact thing I just bought.
Right.
Like, I don't get it. I've already bought this thing. Why are you giving me ads for it?
Well, you're a professional cinematographer. You need two, Jay.
I need four.
Yeah, you need four. You need four. Let's talk some alchemy. And one of the great things to get into in this area is alchemy. But it's also the most difficult thing to get to the real stuff. And for you, why is it that the alchemist out there, the alchemy world, which is not big, it's small, needs to keep this absolutely buttoned down? The real information is just not accessible anywhere.
Well, I think the real reason is because a long time ago, when people who were practicing alchemy would be successful, but unfortunately either brag about their success or someone would hear about it, and then people in authority would find out, i.e. the king or whoever was the head of the country, and they would want to know the secret of immortality because they wanted to live forever, and they would ultimately capture the alchemist and torture him or her and then try to get the secrets out of them, because the alchemist supposedly had the secrets to living, hundreds of years or whatever. And so the alchemist finally decided that it was just better to shut up, practice in silence, because it's just too dang dangerous. And this kind of tradition, by the way, is not just, limited to Europe. It was in China. The Taoist alchemists had to hide what they were doing. It was in the Arab countries, they had to hide what they were doing. And it was everywhere. And so it's not just limited to one group. This is kind of a worldwide problem. So eventually this need to stay secret went so far as to obscure the entire art of alchemy. And it's unfortunately, because it's actually an art that really today, in the age of the internet and shows like this, it's time for this kind of thing to be understood in a real way, because it's not a fantasy or a pseudoscience. It's an understanding of the world that we have lost, and it's time to get it back. And there's really nothing to hide. There's no real secret that some king or the CIA or somebody's going to grab, me or somebody like me and torture me and get this big secret out of me. I'm just going to, I just tell the secret as much as I can on air, because I don't really have any, I don't really care what people in authority think. I think they think I'm crazy anyway, so they're ignoring me. In some ways, it's been, history has proven that the people in authority are starting to just dismiss people like me. So I can speak more freely. It's kind of a weird situation.
Well, when
so
we talk,
anyway,
well, let me jump in. I don't want to get away from what you just said. So let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
You just mentioned, you know, the alchemists of the, you know, the 16th century and kings in 15th century. Are there alchemists or monarchy alive today from the 15th and 16th century, for instance? You know, somebody walking around today that's 500 or 600 years old?
I would say yes, from what I know. Yes. I would say that it's a very high probability. Once you understand what you're dealing with, then you can then understand quickly how someone would gather energy, if that's what you want to call it, from this invisible universe that surrounds us,
right,
and then use that to enhance their life and their lifestyle. And it really is this amazing idea, you know, that goes through a lot of the metaphysical teachings from Wilhelm Reich to Madame Blavatsky, and it stretches across the entire realm of everything, because it actually explains the hidden universe. And then when you understand the hidden universe that surrounds us, you understand what the alchemist is tapping, or the Taoist who's tapping Qi, or the Hindu who's tapping Prana. They're all tapping this thing, and the thing is what is that thing? And then when you understand what that thing is, then you begin to understand the universe that surrounds us, which remains mostly invisible to everybody.
When the reports came out about Falconelli showing back up and not aging, there was probably the most direct evidence in the modern era of alchemy alive and well. And again, this goes back to Europe, but it could be the same here in the United States or China or Asia or anywhere else.
That's right. That was the Falconelli's, his books, which were written in the 1920s, and then his subsequent witness testimony about him actually being younger 30 years after he disappeared, really fueled the modern renaissance in alchemy, in which people are actually beginning to think that there's something here that they didn't understand before. The thing is with alchemy is that it's a very, it seems like a very complex thing, but it isn't that complex. It's actually quite simple, but the routines and the things that you do in alchemy seem unnecessarily complicated to the ordinary person, but once you understand what's actually happening, it's really quite fascinating.
Now, we're going to head towards a break here, but when we talk about alchemy, I think that most think about the Middle Ages and the Renaissance period when they look back and start to research this. But the roots go way, way beyond that, through the mystery schools and quite possibly through Alexandria and Egypt.
Absolutely. In fact, the name of Egypt was El Kemi. So, I mean, that was that's where this came from. And it was practiced everywhere. As we get going into this, and I will be very direct as we speak, you'll understand why it's everywhere and why it's so important, because it deals with the underlying fabric of a reality which we have decided to discard. And we shouldn't be doing that. We should be paying deep attention to this underlying fabric of reality, because that's where all the secrets are.
That's right. And can you give me the 15-second answer, Jay, before the break, on why we have amnesia and why we've chosen to let go of these principles?
Well, I think there was a gigantic catastrophe, as Graham Hancock is saying in his last book, A Magicians of the Gods.
Right.
I think something occurred that just blew our minds that part, and we've been trying forever for the last 12,000 years to get it back together.
There you go. Our guest tonight, Jay Widener. We're going to do everything tonight. We're going to discuss alchemy, Stanley Kubrick. We're going to jump into the secret space program. We're going to do a little bit of everything with our guest tonight, Jay Widener. This is Coast to Coast AM. And it is my honor, everyone, to announce that Coast to Coast AM's George Norrie has been nominated for induction into the National Radio Hall of Fame. Now, nearly 800 individuals were reviewed, with only 24 being selected for nomination. George was one. So we can help George win this honor by voting now, between now and June 18th. And here's how. Just, you can vote by text, dial 96000, and then text message 700-700. Simple. Get her done. You can also vote by website at www.radiovote.com. Complete instructions on how, what, and when to do are over at coasttocoastam.com. Right now, our guest is Jay Widener. When we come back, we're going to discuss the alchemy and plasma physics, the secret science revealed. All of that and much more. Top of the hour, maybe we'll take some of your phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest is Jay Widener. We're going to discuss alchemy and plasma physics, and we're going to change gears at the top of the hour and get into some Stanley Kubrick and the secret space program and some other stuff, too, as well, the Great Cross of Henday. And you can follow me right now on Twitter at Jay Church Radio. Jay, what's your Twitter handle?
Twitter. I'm not a social media guy.
See, it's that alchemy stuff, man. I understand you got to run under the radar, Jay.
Well, I'm worried about seeing too many lives destroyed by social media, so I'm just staying away.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There's other alternatives out there. We'll talk about that at another time. But alchemy and plasma physics, what are we talking about here?
Well, what we're talking about is like this, again, this kind of unseen universe that everybody's talking about in the occult world, and UFOs and ghosts and spirits and weird lights in the woods and all that. And what I'm postulating is that we're living in an unseen biosphere. And this biosphere is all around us, and it's filled with living creatures that we can't see. And these creatures and these energies are all plasma-based. The 99.99% of the universe is plasma. Plasma is the fourth element of matter, and it is something that's not discussed much. But once you begin to understand that you're – the best way I can describe it is that we are, us humans on Earth here, we are living at the bottom of an ocean. We're walking around on the bottom of an unseen ocean. And this ocean goes out like 100,000 miles from the Earth. And this ocean is filled with electricity and electrical beings and electrical energy that we don't see, but we're interacting. And this energy can be tapped. Tesla knew this. He knew that there was endless energy in the ionosphere and that we never needed to even pay for electricity. So in a way, alchemy, free energy, paranormal, all of these things can be explained by this kind of plasma universe. And this idea is that when we encounter one of these plasma things, and we are encountering them all the time, we have a paranormal experience because the electricity within the plasma tears a hole in the time-space continuum. And so we're like living at the bottom of an ocean with all these creatures around us and all these things on us, and we don't even know it. And we have interactions with them, but we don't really understand what's really going on, so we create fantasies and mythologies of ghosts and sprites in the woods and things, when actually what we're dealing with is an intelligence that is plasma-based, and it is light. It has a light-based element to it. And they're called will-o-wisps, jack-o'-lanterns. There's all sorts of terms going back into European mythology.
Fairies.
For these fairies, yes, elves. And what alchemy is it's really an attempt to attract this energy, these plasma things. And there's a great New Zealander, James Constable, and he wrote a bunch of very interesting books. He's now dead. I think he died last year, the year before. He was in his 90s. But he wrote books where he took infrared photography of these things that are in the sky. And when you begin examining a lot of UFO literature, you begin realizing that people are interacting with something that is not, I'm not saying that there isn't extraterrestrials or anything like that. I'm sure there are. But I'm saying is that there is an organic compound to the earth of an incredible sentient nature of beings that surround us. And these beings want to interact with us, and we're kind of ignoring them. And these beings can be tapped. And chi, so the Tai Chi guys, with they're tapping energy through their Tantian. They're literally realizing that they're surrounded by this etheric energy that they can actualize and tap. And that's what alchemy is. And it's not that hard to understand once you get it. And once you understand that you're surrounded by an ocean of unseen forces that are sentient and want you to succeed, then you can then tap into that and realize kind of your unseen reality that you didn't even know you had. And so that's what alchemy in a nutshell is. And Philosopher's Stone is merely an attractor to these plasmic forces which surround us and are really the force behind a lot of the paranormal, UFOs, and other things.
When we, and I've seen them, when we see things like orbs or ghosts or plasma balls in the sky, things that we would normally say is, you know, some type of UFO or, you know, ET craft, or orbs in a room or out in a field outside, ghost, that we naturally say that this is a paranormal or supernatural experience, but this just may be nature.
Strange nature. And, you know, and by the way, they happen in places, the plasma beings, critters, orbs, whatever you call them, they happen in places that have a high geological fissures, earthquakes, a lot of pressure in the ground.
Right.
I think that there's a piezoelectric field effect going on. So if you're in a place like Southern California, people have all these mystical experiences because of the earthquakes there. And I think the same thing is true, like, in sacred places. Sacred places are almost generally places that have this kind of weird geological pressure, granite, high fields. My good friend Jack Carey talks about in cryptozoology how these weird creatures always appear in places that have these kinds of features. And I think that I think what we're really doing is we're beginning to understand this kind of electrical universe that surrounds us, and that, as Tesla knew, high electrical fields cause tears in the time-space continuum. He himself experienced it. So when people get together and they do a bunch of meditations or whatever, and then somebody takes a bunch of pictures, and they don't see them in real time, but in the pictures they see all the orbs gathering around them. These are these higher dimensional things that actually exist. They're physical. It's not like they're coming in from some other place. They're all around us in the right circumstances, and I've seen them. In the right circumstances, you can actually see them, and they appear to be sentient and living, and it's a kind of an astonishing thing. And now I've had three different occasions in the last 5 years of encountering these things, and each time their sentience becomes more and more apparent to me. And I'm not alone. Andrew Collins, a great writer, has written a whole book about these plasmic beings and people who've had interactions with them. So I think this is like the rising field of the next wave of this research.
Last year, Jay, and I want to get to the direct connection between alchemy and these plasma objects. But last year, I was with about 150 people up at East City Ranch, sitting out there at night, and this across about a quarter mile in front of me, good distance across the Field of Dreams there, this giant orb shows up from behind these trees. I'm going to say it was 40 or 50 foot in diameter, but it started off really tiny, and it just went in a couple of seconds, and now it's 50 feet in diameter, but it's two-dimensional, right? It's flat, and it's gray, and this is like at midnight or 11 o'clock, and I thought I had a floaty in my eye, so I rub my eye, and I'm looking at it, and this lady behind me says, "Hey, is anybody else watching that gray orb out there?" Right? And I went, "Oh, no, no." It was talking to us, man. I don't know. I can't even explain it any more than that. It was something that's
exactly what's going on with James Gillian. He's there by Mount Adams, and it has all this pressure, and
right.
It's a volcano, but they're sentient. He's literally, it seems to be that if you're like a kind, loving being, these things will appear if you ask them.
It was amazing. And all of those 2D orbs I see in photography now, it's as good as gold to me. And once you see it for the first time. But so back to your research, what is it that you know about the alchemists and connecting to these plasma beings or objects and utilizing what is going on?
I think that what alchemy is, when I pull out my old alchemy books from the 1600s from Germany and Belgium, and I look at them and I look at the engravings, it seems to me as if they're well aware of the plasmic universe, and they call it the celestial fire.
Right.
And they say that's the first thing you need to cultivate is the fire that does not burn. And they say it's everywhere, and that when you tap it, you have unlimited power. And they're really talking about this invisible plasmic electric universe that surrounds us, and they don't know really what to call it, so they call it the celestial fire, because they say you cannot do any of your work in alchemy until you understand what the celestial fire is. Because then you can draw it into your work. So you take something like a plant, and you putrefy it, you destroy it, and then you burn it, and then you rectify it in alchemy. But what's really going on is that you're tearing apart the material, and then you're calling on the celestial fire, these plasmic forces, to come into whatever you're working on, whether it be a metal or a plant or whatever, and vivify that material, and then you consume that material with the high plasmic entities inside it, and so the whole point appears to be to consume as much of this electrical energy, chi, prana, plasmic energy, and then that will give you a nice life, a good life, a long life. And every tradition carries on this kind of philosophy. I'm just suggesting that this isn't some kind of hyper mythology, fake fantasy. This is actually based on actual science, and that there's scientifically proven that there is a plasma universe around us. Even Kenneth Arnold, the first guy who saw the UFOs over Mount Rainier now, another volcano, think about that. He even said near the end of his life that actually he thinks he saw some kind of plasmic vehicles. So You know,
right next to Mount Adams, right next to Mount Adams, I might add.
Exactly.
And this also reminds me of Jay, of the story of Prometheus, because that's what he did. He reached up and grabbed fire from the heavens and brought it to us.
That's right. He brought the secret of alchemy to the humans. That's why he was punished by the gods, because you're not supposed to give the secret of celestial fire to the humans. In the story, they say that he taught us about fire, but that's not true. He taught us about the celestial fire, that there's this force, this plasmic force that's all around us that we can draw onto, and we can become as, really, as gods. I mean, once we understand this, we can, and that's one of the reasons I'm talking about it, because there's a million minds listening right now, and somebody's going to come forth with the final effort of how we can tap into these forces in a big time way and achieve this kind of increased human potential that I think we're lacking because of this catastrophe we were talking about earlier, which kind of wiped out our memory.
Right, right, right. Well, also, you put the thought out and the knowledge of it out, and that's what gets everybody thinking about this. I find it really, really interesting because the trend lately, as including for myself, it's not the old-fashioned chrome metallic disc in the sky. We're seeing these giant plasma glowing orbs, and they're all over the place. I see them all the time now, and I can't explain it, but certainly this and plasma and physics may have something to do with it, and then we pull into alchemy, and just maybe these sentient beings are ready to communicate, because it seems to happen when we're in a good mood, right? When we're looking for it, when we're asking for it, they show up.
That's right, and you know, if there's millions and trillions of these sentient beings living among us, and we don't even know it, and we're doing stupid stuff like lighting off nuclear weapons and killing, you know, millions of these plasma beings who have nothing to do with, you know, violence or anything like that, maybe they're going to get concerned about the future of this planet and come here and try to create methodologies to try to bring us out of the madness. And maybe that's what's really going on since World War II. Maybe the plasma beings are actually trying to communicate with us in an effort to save themselves from the doom that we are generating. And that may be exactly what's happening here. And so they're coming to us and they're teaching us about ecology and they're teaching us about nonviolence and all of these things which are going on in the UFO circles, the psychedelic circles, all of these different kinds of modalities that happened after World War II. And over we see the same kind of thing going on where it's like, you've got to stop what you're doing, you're going to destroy everything, and there's some kind of sentient modality which wants us to kind of get mature and act like an adult. And I don't know. I think that these are the angelic forces. I think these are the forces that create light bodies.
I've got to jump in, Jay. We've got to take a break right there, but when we come back, we're going to keep the alchemy going with the Great Cross of Henday and the coming Ice Age. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Stay with us.